Systems are a go. Looks good. All right. Welcome in. Welcome back to Backseat Fantasy. We're your hosts, Deez, William, Fonz.
Big Willie here.
Bro. Guys, welcome in. Episode 104. Doing a recap of week one.
Is it 105?
Damn.
Oh, you're right. 105. It's 105. It's
105. Oh. Fonz hasn't even been here for that long.
Impressive. He knows. Oh, you said we did back to back.
God damn. Fonz. Nah, Fonz. We get it, dude. It's your show now.
Oh my God.
Pre-show, William was telling us how hungover he is. Will and Fonz are sharing the same camera feed this time, so all we see is William in the background. Looks like he's doing some homework. And he was telling us about his last couple days being extremely busy. William, care to elaborate on air for everyone?
No.
Well said.
It looks like Fonz put William in timeout. From my view,
it does. Like, there's like a fold out table or whatever. Like,
it's like, sit down in the corner, mijo.
Say nothing. Observe. Yeah.
Watch me at work.
I have a question, and I'll get to the real reason why I'm asking a little bit later. But Castro, this one's for you. And be brief. What do your Sundays look like? Like
Sundays?
Yeah, your football Sundays. Like, you wake up to the time you go to bed. What do those look like for you?
I go to bed relatively early-ish normally, and I wake up like around maybe 9 in the morning. And I don't really do. I watch a couple videos. I'll watch like some church videos and stuff sometimes, and sometimes I'll just watch videos for like fantasy football updates. Just keep an alert out for that. But that, and then watch the games at 12 o'clock. And then this past Sunday, I went to, I don't want to say it on air because it's nerdy, but I went to a Lurkana tournament at night because I have a big tournament coming up. So I'm trying to practice with that for that. But yeah, why?
That's the Disney card tournament, right?
No.
No?
Yeah, it is. Will, what do we tell you? Damn. Will, you look like you're in a tiny chair. It just looks doesn't look real.
Mickey Mouse, I summon you.
No, I was just genuinely curious. I know, for one, I know you know, people were trying to reach you on Sunday in the sleeper chat. Oh. And it didn't look like you were responding, which is fine. But my, you know, selfish reason for asking is I think I'm going to ask you, you know, 6 more times throughout the season for every other day. And eventually I'll get the right schedule and the right, you know, window down of like, okay, this is the best time to message Castro. And I have the best chance of getting a response on this day during this time. So
I try not to. Okay, if I message, I usually talk shit, so I try not to talk too much shit before the actual games, just to avoid the bad juju. So that's the reasoning for that, because I don't have nice things to say. So
how did that work out for you this past Sunday? Not talking to anybody.
It wasn't good, Fonz. You have eyes, don't you? Why don't you clean the jizz out of them, Fonz, so you can see?
Whoa!
You might as well just talk shit.
How'd you do this weekend, Fonz? Fonz, David fucking beat you this weekend.
We're gonna review that. No one knows who David is or cares.
They beat you. Yeah, I know, and I care.
This circle might not know who David is, and I don't know if it's worth getting into right now. But that's a different league, different circle. But no, I get that. There's times. There's people that when I play against them, I intentionally ignore. And I'm like, I'm not talking to you. I don't get any good energy from this conversation if I'm playing you this week. And everyone can probably guess what that is. I won't say it on air, but there's one person absolutely that I do not talk to when I'm playing them. I just didn't know if that was your case with the person you played. So just curious. But yeah, there was some selfish reasoning behind it as well.
No, I just didn't want the... Which it didn't work out, yeah, but I didn't want like, oh, it looks like Jamar Chase broke his ankle on his way to the building type thing, or it was all superstitious stuff.
That is what happened, so you're right.
Well, enough said. We can get right into it. We're doing a week one recap this week. So each of us have some matchups assigned that we'll go over briefly before we get there. Flash League, NFL news. I don't know if there's any league news worth covering right now, but in terms of NFL news, I know there was quite a few injuries that happened over the last couple of days. Don't want to get into every single one of them and, you know, analysis and timeline for return, but just to give you those names that I have, and really quick, Jordan Love, knee injury, Jordan Addison, ankle injury, David Njoku, ankle injury, Jake Ferguson, knee injury, Keenan Allen, old, Roma Dunze, knee injury, Puka Nacua, knee injury, Kenneth Walker, abdomen injury, Christian McCaffrey, a calf / Achilles tendonitis, Raheem Mostert, chest injury, and Devon Achane, ankle injury. So I think that covers most of what we've heard or what we've seen the last couple of days. So just wanted to mention it. I don't have news on or any updated news on any of those, but just some of the ones I noticed from yesterday, or at least the updated list from yesterday. So a lot to consider. Jumping right into the week one matchups. Do you all want me to go first? Does anyone want to volunteer? I think I was first on the list. So if no one's ready to go now, I'll jump on it.
I'm first on the list.
Got it.
You're first on the list?
According to the list that you wrote.
I have many lists. I'm a list guy. So,
yeah, Castro, if we go with the list, Castro, you go first.
You want me to go first?
Go for it.
Noe V. Miller. Miller loss. On to the next one.
On to the next one.
That was great.
No,
we're on pace. We're on pace. This is good.
A couple things to mention about this one. One of the things that I mentioned about it was that Noe has never beat Miller. So congratulations, Noe, on your first victory against Miller. Although Miller is in true rebuild mode. But Miller being the witch he is, he did have some surprises this week, like Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua going down. It's probably going to miss a couple weeks too, I think. So Cooper Kupp comes back into play for him. I think he did put him on the trade block too, if anyone bites for that. His defense did pretty well. Chargers did well. I won't go through all of them, just notable ones. Basically, Cooper Kupp was the big one that I wanted to mention. I'm like, of course, Miller. Like, Cooper Kupp looks like ass last year, and Miller revives him.
But he didn't look like ass. He was just injured.
Yeah, he was injured, and Puka Nacua was just stealing everything. Puka Nacua was healthy, and
I'm just trying to correct you and say that he wasn't ass. He was injured.
He wasn't as good as he's been, even when he was back on the field. He was still like, I guess, yeah, still kind of injured. On the other side, the only thing I want to mention or talk about is J.K. Dobbins. I know we convinced you to put that in or put him in your lineup, and it was kind of just like me and Mario said, the job was wide open. J.K. Dobbins probably has the most talent out of all those running backs, and Jim Harbaugh loves to run the ball. I think they ran it like, or did they, like 50 times between all of them, 50 attempts or something like that?
Is that what it was?
I'm not sure. I heard it was a lot, like either close to that or it was something ridiculous. So it's looking like a really good pickup, could be a secret league winner there. I don't know how he acquired him. I don't remember, but awesome job on that. But yeah, only other thing too is Bears defense put up 24 points for him. Not much else to speak of. No, he took the win 104-87. Miller, even though in a real rebuild mode, still outscored some of us, me. Yeah, any other thoughts on this one?
Just two notes, one for both sides. For on Noe's side, Marvin Harrison Jr., one catch, 3 targets, 4 yards, 0.4. That's that's why. And this isn't saying that he won't have a good career, he won't be, you know, great the rest of the season, but that's like, if I drafted a receiver with a top 3 pick, like I would be losing sleep over this. Like, oh my God, Corey Davis 2.0, like no way. But like, it's Marvin Harrison Jr. I don't think this is gonna hold up. But that's,
I mean, we talked about that though. Like, you don't expect much from a rookie in week one. Like, you're not supposed to expect that much from them. Even no matter how much of a superstar they are, which was why it was so crazy and fun to see the Chiefs rookie going off the way he did, because it was just like it's just rare to see a rookie just go off, you know. Yep. So it's just a great start. But I don't think it's too scary.
You know,
it is worrisome when you're going through it. But yeah, I think nothing too bad.
You know what I think, and like this might be just crazy people talk, but I honestly think that just it's Kyler Murray doing his like, okay, he's getting way too much hype. I'm not going to feed him the ball. Like, I'm not going to give him, this is my team. I'm going to run this team. This team faces me. Like, no one's getting bigger than that. And like, he said something, I read something today and it was along. Or do you know what it is? He's exactly. I don't know.
I was trying to find the exact quote, but like, yeah, that triggered that memory.
Because I've had DeAndre Hopkins in the past, and I felt like watching the games, I felt like, why were you not throwing it? Hop is like open all the time, and he would just not throw it to him for whatever reason. And I remember there was a Hard Knock episode too, where Hop actually kind of mentions where like he just doesn't throw to me, and Hop is open. So I think Kyler Murray's a bit of a diva. And because there's also clips like where Marvin Harrison Jr. was like open. He ran a lot of routes. Like if you go back and look at it, he ran a ton of routes. And I'm sure he was open for a lot of them. I didn't watch it myself. But
I mean, even if it wasn't open, I feel like you, as a quarterback and as a rookie who hasn't proved himself yet, you'd want to test it out. Like, so throw it towards him. He didn't even get that many targets.
No, he only got 3 targets. Like that's my biggest thing with him.
Yeah.
I think it's just – I think it's a Kyler Murray thing, and, like, that's going to suck if that is it.
Yeah, I found, like, bits of that quote. So he says, I wouldn't say the Bills were taking Marvin Harrison away. As a quarterback, obviously, you're going through your reads. Sometimes the ball goes to him. That's not my job. And then he, like, references the OC. Like, that's his job. That's not my job. And so, like, it's part of that is paraphrase, and I'm probably not quoting it correctly. But, yeah, like – that's a Kyler Murray thing to say.
Like, it's just, I think you're going to have to live with, like, if Harrison does, like, I'm sure he's going to feed him sometimes, but I feel like it's just a Kyler Murray thing. If it gets too big, bigger than him, like, nah, which kind of sucks, I think, but whatever.
Agreed.
I hope that's not the case, because, yeah, that would suck ass. Ugh.
Yeah, and the other thing I wanted to mention on the other side before we move on, he did make it a point, and Castor, you touched on it. He sent me a message and it's saying, specifically on this year's podcast, can you have a weekly segment reviewing the teams that scored less than the one team that is blatantly taking? So, Miller did a lot better than some of the other teams out there in terms of like total points scored. But, it's for the long game, for the season, right? We'll see what happens down the road. But he did want me to point that out for him to everybody.
Miller, we're not all witches.
Just for you,
okay?
Just for you.
Did he outscore Fonz? I hope he did.
I think a lot of people did.
That's it for that matchup.
That's it. Yeah, it's our brother. Oh, I guess I'm next. What's up?
Get him off a timeout.
I'm at a timeout. How's everyone doing? Just kidding. Isaac versus Scott. Scott took this one, 89 to Isaac's 81, and this is Scott's first time beating Isaac based off of the stats I had mentioned last time when they played in 2023. Isaac kicked Scott's ass, and then when they played in 2022, same thing, but it was different this time. So congrats, Scott, on whooping Isaac's ass. Scott, I was the only one that voted for you last week. Oh, yeah.
I was going to say, I don't know if anyone voted for him, but yeah, it's prove me wrong. Prove most of us wrong.
No proof. Not documented.
Not documented. You're such a bitch, dude. Isaac on his side. I had mentioned Anthony Richardson being one of the players to watch this week or last week, and he ended up putting up 26.08 points. Not bad. For his first time back, I personally think there were a lot of plays that he overthrew players, and his accuracy was not there. I think he got most of his points on like big plays that he had. I think 2 big plays that I can think of that went to like one went to I think Alec Pierce, and then the other one I can't even remember who it was. It might have been both.
Yeah, he completed he was 9 for 19, 200 yards, 2 touchdowns thrown. That yeah. He completed 9 passes, only 9 passes, and 2 of those were touchdowns. That's crazy.
And he threw an interception. And he still ended up with 26 points.
Rushing.
But yeah, that's something to keep an eye on, I think, for Anthony Richardson. He actually finished the game this so far, so it'll be interesting to see how it plays out for him.
Woo!
He's still not like sliding like a quarterback should. I'm pretty sure I saw him like.
I think I saw that too. Yeah,
going in for the contact, which is scary, but
learn his lesson some point. Somehow.
Some point.
Puka Nacua, I think, on Isaac's team is the one to talk about. He got a knee injury in the middle of the game. He got hurt, and Puka Nacua ended up with like 20 points. Nacua might be out for about. He could miss more than 4 games now, is what they're saying. But he's going to miss quite a bit. So that affects Isaac a lot, I think. But yeah, so everyone knows. The player to talk about, Xavier Worthy. Fucking Mario. Bitch. Mario was super excited. DZ were there, like in the party, and my brother and just super excited about Xavier Worthy doing well. He scored 2 touchdowns. He ended up with 18.80 points. 1 carry, 21 yards, 1 touchdown. 2 for 3 receptions, 47 yards and a touchdown. Most of his plays were like big plays, but Xavier Worthy's fast. That's what we all can agree on, right? My biased opinion doesn't matter. It's okay. but he did look fast. He looked fast out there. So we'll see how that ends up happening and looking for him for the rest of the year. Not bad for a rookie, though, showing up like that in game one. But that's all I have on Isaac's side. Anything you guys want to mention?
Just that, yeah, Puka Nacua out at least for the next 4 games. And normally I'd feel bad for Isaac, but Isaac has depth at that spot specifically. And so, he can get creative with his flex spots as well. For example, he's got Jordan Mason and BTJ on the bench and Ayuk. But it's, it sucks to have that player and have him go down so early for an extended period of time, but he'll be all right. Isaac, he'll bounce back. He's got the depth.
Isaac, show me your Wevos and start Xavier Worthy week 2. Let us know it's for real. I bet you won't. All right, on Scott's side, notable players. Jordan Love, he also got hurt by the end of the game. They're saying he could miss multiple weeks. There's no timeline table yet that I've heard.
I'd be shocked if he's back in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's a knee injury, so I don't know. That affects the whole Green Bay offense. That affects you, D's, yeah? Some of your wide receivers.
Depends.
D's, Mario, D's, Castro. Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how that goes. Malik Willis is the guy now.
Gross. The guy. He sucks.
He did not look good, but that was like the last 30 seconds of the game, so
yeah.
We'll see. Notable thing, I had mentioned keeping an eye on Rome Odunze, the rookie. Scott was starting him this week. Odunze ended up with 1.10 points, and he also hurt his knee during the game and is considered day-to-day at least. So he could play in week 2. We don't know. But it's not looking good for a rookie to get out there and get hurt already in week 1. So we'll see what ends up happening there. Saints defense. They ended up with like 13 points. If anybody watched that game or any football on Sunday, it was wild to see how bad Carolina.
Panthers are ass. Been.
And they just look like shit. There was just no hope on that field for any of that offense at all. So I don't know. We'll see how week 2 looks like for them. But Saints whooped on them bad. They showed up.
It was ugly.
Defense. Yeah, but other than that, that's all I really have on Scott. Again, congrats, Scott. You beat Isaac 89-81. That puts him on a note. Isaac 0-1. Anything else you guys have for Scott's team?
Just a note from the bench. Jordan Love went out, which probably obviously means Justin Herbert gets a start from here on out, or at least, you know, for the time being. But that could be an interesting stack that Scott has with Ladd McConkey. Ladd McConkey on his bench went 5 for 7, 39 yards and a touchdown. So it does look like, you know, he's starting to be that, or if he wasn't the top target, like that's promising for him to be the top target. So, Scott has a interesting stack there to use in the coming weeks, assuming that improves.
All right. Mike Williams, you saw he ended up with 0 points.
I did, and I wonder, yeah, like
they were for some reason, I guess, keeping an eye on him and not putting him in. And so many, let me see what he ended up with.
I think he's just being cautious with him. He is super injury prone, so
I don't think he didn't get any looks.
He only played 18% of snaps.
Mm. Yeah, I'm sure there's just
more with going slow.
That's what I'm thinking, Bonds. Yeah.
With him, but his jersey was clean. You talk about clean jerseys. Mike Williams had a clean ass jersey. But yeah, McConkey scored. Okay, let's see what happens with the Chargers. Yeah, that's all I got. Is there anything else?
Not for me.
Congrats, Scott. Good job, Scott. Yeah, Scott. Woo!
Congrats, Scott. All right. I think this is me for real this time. Moving on. Fonz versus Warwick. Quick stats recap from that game. Fonz beat Warwick 82.06 to 72.84. Both coming in at under projection from what they were projected to score for the week. But according to the max PF possible, Fonz is 104 to Warwick's 91. It does appear that the right person won here. Headline performers on Fonz's side, as I pull up that matchup, I gotta say, probably went to David Montgomery. I had David Montgomery in a different league, and I think I checked out of that game because I was so afraid of just him not doing anything. And I don't know if it was a very active first half for David Montgomery, but it didn't look promising, I can tell you that. And then much to my surprise by the end of that game, watching the end of that game, he finished with, 17 carries, 91 yards and a touchdown. So, top performer, Fonz on your side, David Montgomery, 15 fantasy points versus the 10 projected. Also, your boom kicker here, Brandon Aubrey, 22 fantasy points, was only projected 7. Those two players combined, I think, really put you over, into the favor of winning this week. On Warwick's side, top performers, rookie wide receivers, right? Malik Nabers, it wasn't pretty for the Giants offense, but when you look at target share and who Daniel Jones is, I'm just laughing at that name and the person, who he's throwing to, Malik Nabers was targeted 7 times, caught 5 of those for 66 yards. So the volume's there. He's the alpha. He's absolutely the guy. But when you compare, rookie wide receivers and what they did on the field on Sunday, Nabers is the clear, leader here, but that's what you would want to see if you, draft a rookie wide receiver with the top 3 or 4 pick is like numbers like this, not like one reception for, half a yard or whatever. So top performer for Warwick, even though, it didn't really help much to get him the win or anything like that. And the other person on Warwick's side, Chris Godwin, he had 14 fantasy points. He was only projected 7. I think it was Mario last week that brought it up, how there was talk all off season about moving Chris Godwin to the slot and what that could do for the offense and stuff like that. And it seems to have worked. It seems to have paid off. Chris Godwin targeted 8 times, caught all 8 of those for 83 yards and a touchdown. So you have to love that. Some major surprises on Fonz on your side. What surprised me the most is this guy, Kyren Williams. He got a pretty crazy workload for a punt returner. I don't know how you feel. I don't know how you feel about that, but I was looking at his stat line and I was like, yeah, like, I mean, you'd want a touchdown, right? Of course, but 18 carries, 50 yards. Oh, he did get a touchdown. I'm sorry. 18 carries, 50 yards and a touchdown. Was targeted 3 times, caught all those for 4 yards. Didn't mean much there, but yeah, I was looking at that and I was like, man, punt returner. Turn running back. That's crazy.
No, I wasn't too concerned about that. So, yeah. I'm glad that it proved not to be concerned about it. So
it was just noise. And then Yeah, a little bit of underperformers kind of all across the starting lineup here. But if I have to give another nod to a major surprise, I'm looking at Bucky Irving on the bench. Yeah, I wouldn't have started him either, but just you see a stat line, 9 carries for 62 yards, 2 catches for 14, and just for a rookie running back, to be, you know, the number 2 running back on the team and to have those numbers, that's for sure promising. Great volume. And then also Alec Pierce, it looks like that was a surprise as well for me. He was only targeted 3 times, but he brought all 3 of those in for 125 yards and a touchdown, finished with 18.5 fantasy points. I don't know if that's sustainable throughout the season, but it's gotta be something you love. Am I right?
I'm definitely worried about it. Yeah. Cause I would much rather him not have a good game, so I feel comfortable dropping him, but he's got no trade value either now. Like, he's just in between. Like, I don't know.
He's still young though. Like, he's still got time. Yeah. Like, in,
yeah, kind of... exactly. So nah, yeah, you're right. Nah. I should keep him up alive a little
no,
bit.
No, 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 no.
Yeah, he's only 24.
No. I'm going to be a Debbie Downer here. Yeah.
You were right the first time, Fonz. His value's gone.
What surprised me the most on Warwick's side? Not a ton, but 2 names I'll give. 1, Keon Coleman. The Bills' Ooh. Offense didn't look so hot most of that first half, but I would have thought Keon Coleman would have, you know, realistically only been targeted, you know, 2 or 3 times and maybe caught 1 or 2 of those. Not a ton, but he was targeted 5 times, which I'm pretty sure is the most targets that for that particular game from Josh Allen. Brought in 4 of those for 51 yards. So, it wasn't pretty for the Bills offense, even though they did pull off the win. Really, the only promising one there on that side was probably Josh Allen for whoever, you know, for all the Josh Allen owners out there. But that looked promising. That was a surprise for me. The only other one I'll mention, he wasn't starting for Warwick, but he was on the bench. Alexander Mattison. I didn't expect much from him, like, for the remainder of his career, but he seemed to find some, you know, make a name for himself on this Raiders offense, but mostly in the passing game. So he only carried 5 times for 19 yards, but he was targeted 6 times, brought in 4 of those receptions for 43 yards, and he did get that touchdown. So I don't know really what that means. I don't know if that's something, you know, Warwick, you know, you can consider to put in the starting lineup moving forward, but he's involved. And that was a surprise. He's more involved than I thought he would have been, and that's a surprise for me.
Yeah.
Finishing up this matchup here, disappointments for me, from my perspective on Warwick's side, the biggest one, I mean, outside of like a team effort, I know Warwick wasn't happy with just, you know, his overall score with some of the names that he has, but Ben Sinnott, am I pronouncing that last name correctly? I thought he would have been at least like a little bit involved in that Commander offense or whatever. I don't think he's the number 1 tight end on the depth chart. I think that still goes to Zach Ertz, but still, I would have thought they would have included him somewhere. They didn't. Not involved at all. He finished the day with, you know, 0 fantasy points for Warwick. So I'm sure he was, you know, hating on that. And I actually think he dropped him. Yeah. Okay. I was like, try not to confuse leagues in the transactions, but I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Thanks, Bonds. He did drop him.
He had room in his taxi.
If I know Warwick, he's just like, once someone burns him, he's like, I'm done with you. Like, I don't care how young you are. I don't care how established you are. Like, I'm just done with you. Like, he'll move on very quickly. And then Fonz, on your side, disappointment. If I were you, for me, I think Olave would have been a disappointment for me. He was only targeted 2 times. Yes, he did pull both of those in for 11 yards, but it was 11 yards and it's Chris Olave. So that's one. The other thing, or the other name to mention here is Dalton Kincaid. Only targeted 2 times, caught 1 of those for 11 yards. He finished with 1 fantasy point, 1.1. But I think that's kind of, if you look at the top 10 tight ends that like stepping into this year, just like standard tight ends, I'm pretty sure it was a low day for just fantasy performances for all those tight ends combined. I did the math earlier and I'm blanking on the number, but I'm pretty sure, well, he wasn't a top 10. I'm pretty sure the top 10 tight ends, they scored fantasy total. I think it was like 33 or 34. The only one of those that had a touchdown was Kyle Pitts. And so that on average, that's 3.4 fantasy points for the each for the top 10 tight ends, which isn't a great number, but I don't think this is, I think this is just, you know, it's not going to hold up. Dalton Kincaid's going to get more involved as the season goes on. I don't think you have to be worried, but just stepping into week one, I think that's something you would want from him to be a top performer.
Nah, Fonz, you should trade him away right now to me.
And what time am I going to have, huh?
What?
Vincent? What tight end am I going to go for? Vincent?
You could.
Oh, dude.
Nobody acknowledges
you.
We're recording.
And live, as we're finishing up the Fonz versus Warwick matchup, we got a surprise visit live from Tokyo, Japan.
Tokyo, Japan. See for yourself.
It's 5 in the morning.
Look at all the lady boys.
Castro has a cousin in Japan.
What?
You have a Japanese cousin?
No. The big gun.
I believe it. Everybody looks like you here. Oh, what? You thought you were going to escape? The recap of the whooping?
Go to sleep, Mario. It's like
I just did, man. It is 9:50 a.m. here. It just started Thursday, actually. Well, you guys end Wednesday.
Oh, shit, that's weird.
Yeah, Will hours.
Never knew that.
I didn't know until yesterday as I was doing the math on what time I was landing here. It really threw me off.
Like you did. So.
Whoa, Big Brother, help me, Big Brother.
You probably have a kid in Japan, bro.
He'd whoop your ass, William.
What's up, guys? How's it going?
We're just wrapping up the matchup right now with me and Warwick.
Yeah, Fonz, did you have any last words for your matchup or any?
Yeah, no. I mean, there were some disappointments and some surprises, but for sure, overall, I'm not too concerned about the week one performance. Olave, I have been worried about for a while, which is why I wanted to trade him before the season started. But
I remember.
We'll see how
you just
that
revealed your secrets to everybody.
So they'll see how that progresses because I just don't like Derek Carr, and
I think Derek Carr doesn't like Olave.
Yeah,
but also like the Saints had the whole time. They didn't even throw the ball. Carolina sucked. So no offense didn't really happen there.
That's true. I mean, same thing with the Cowboys too. Beat down on the Browns, and Dak and CeeDee didn't need to do much. So, I'm looking forward to next week to see who their matchups are against, and see if they have more opportunities to throw to those receivers. That's really a wrap. That's all I got for my matchup. Good game, Warwick.
Beautiful. Mario, I have to imagine you are pressed on time and you don't want to be here for the next 30 minutes talking to us while you're on vacation. If it makes sense, and if you have, I don't know, 6-7 minutes, I can go back to back here and cover the second matchup that is you versus Castro.
Nah, he's good.
Did you already do it?
Yet. It was going to be at the very end.
I
can double up here.
Look. Look at you, Castro. Well, he said, I was following up on the back. Hey, I'm low on sleep. You know what I didn't account for? I was like, I stayed up all night before the flight began. And I was like, I'll just sleep on the plane. I didn't account that 20 hours were going to go by. So I needed a whole second day of sleep that just got overlapped and overlooked. So it's been a tough hour. Lots of plum wine, trying to stay awake last night, wandering the streets. I went to Castro's little, the one place he sent me to, it's called the 8-Bit Cafe. So he already brought it up. I started sending him photos and I go, this better be the right place, because we had wandered 15 minutes into nowhere away from town to go into some super, and he might have said this, but into like it, none of the bars here look like bars. They look like people's homes almost. They're just so unassuming and they don't look like anything. So I sent him a creepy photo, and this might be a post-production edit, but I could send it in the group. And it's just a staircase, like a creepy staircase, and he goes, 8-Bit Cafe, 5th floor, all stairs. And I'm like, what the fuck, dude? And we walk up, and it looks like somebody's basement. It's super narrow, super tiny. It's like a whole history of video game collection all over the walls, decorating it. And each of these bars, I learned this is not independent to this cafe, but each of these bars can seat like 10 people. They're super, super cramped, super tiny. And so we all go in, and I look at the menu, and I see Dr. Mario first thing on it. And it tastes like Dr. Pepper. It didn't taste like alcohol at
It
all.
is Dr.
It was garbage.
Pepper. The Blue Eyes White Dragon is way worse. It's very hard to drink.
What's funny is my sister's friend had ordered that, and the whole time was it was in a blue cup, and she was just like this, and had everybody try it, and they were passing it around like, "Yeah, that thing sucks." And then Castor answers me 10 minutes later. She goes, "If you get a chance, order the Blue Eyes. It's garbage." And I showed them the text, and they go, "Oh yeah, we
Sounds like a
know."
faint of heart.
You know it is. Jose, you're not super wrong. We're gonna start our whole day in about 30 minutes, which gives me about 10 to 15 before I gotta start getting dressed and packing up and going out. Lots of adventures on the docket today.
Yeah. Well, let's continue this and keep moving. I'll go ahead and I'll go back to back here. I'll cover Castro and Mario's matchup since you both are here. Interject whenever, stop me whenever.
Stop.
Go slower.
All right, the recap here. Mario took the win over Castro 123.4 to 78.7. And I don't know if there was ever a time between Thursday, like the opening game on Thursday night, and like Sunday, we'll call it Sunday night. I don't know if there was ever a point where Mario was projected to lose. It just kept getting, the gap just kept getting big, larger.
Thursday,
Damn right.
he was projected to lose after Thursday.
Oh, because of Mark
because
Andrews.
Andrews had like one point.
It was
Yeah.
to Friday that he
Yeah.
got.
It was Friday. That's the day Castro crawled into a hole and we didn't see him. It was after Friday night. He vanished for 4 days after Jaden Reed
Castro, what are you Friday
highlighted the evening.
on football day?
What?
What does your Fridays look like on football day?
I'm with your mother, William.
No.
Your mother, not Fonz's. Your real mother.
Continue. Go ahead, continue.
From my perspective, some top performers on Mario's side, it's simple. All four receivers. I think you could probably argue against Justin Jefferson, but he still it was the modest numbers from him. But Reed for speed, Jaden Reed, Tyreek Hill after having the pre
arrested.
how best to say it. Yeah, had the morning that he had. You know, I knew he was going to be pissed off. I knew it was going to go well for him on the field. That's why I bet a bunch of overs on him and to score a touchdown. So,
Oh, nice.
sorry, I'm pulling up the numbers now. Tyreek Hill targeted 12 times, pulled in seven of those, 130 yards for a touchdown, finished with
Damn.
19 points. I mentioned Justin Jefferson, 11.9. You know, they're great numbers, but you would expect Justin Jefferson probably in the 15, 16 range. Jaden Reed, one carry, 33 yards and a touchdown, four receptions for 138 yards and a touchdown. Finished the day with two tutties, 29 fantasy points. And then I kind of overlooked it. I know I did. AJ Brown even targeted 10 times, pulled in five of those, 119 yards and a touchdown, finished with 17.9 fantasy points. So those four, like that, it game over. Game over.
Didn't need much else after that. You called it, Jose, as you're doing the preview. And you had said the big three. And to be fair, like I thought about sitting Reed going to Friday night's game. I think I had him on the bench up until Friday afternoon, where I heard a couple of things that just sort of swayed me. But yeah, you might have acknowledged it that the big three might be coming a big four, or at least they were until Jordan Love screwed up his leg at the end of the game. So we'll call it the big three and a half for now. But yeah, on your preview, you said those names are too big. I'm gonna bank on them, and yeah, all of them showed up. And what a week for it to
What a week. Castro, I do think you had a top performer on your side. I only pulled down one, and I think I said it for the preview. Alvin Kamara against the Panthers defense. Alvin Kamara did pretty great for the against the Panthers defense there. Pulling up his numbers, 15 carries, 83 yards, and a touchdown. Targeted five times, brought in all five of those for 27 yards. Finished the day with 17 fantasy points. Unfortunately, I don't have any other headline performers for you. But
you suck.
It just collectively, it wasn't the best week for you. Moving on to the major surprises, though. Castro, I'll start with you here. Major surprises from my perspective, the entire Bengals offense.
The team as a whole.
Yeah.
It's wild. Like, what is going on there?
Like, there is investment from you into the Bengals offense, and in order for your weeks to go as you would probably expect them to go, you need that stack to click, right? Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase. I think you even have Bengals kicker, and you played Bengals D. It just didn't seem like a good time for Cincinnati. Joe Burrow finished the day with only 8 fantasy points. Ja'Marr Chase, I don't know what's happening there. He was targeted 6 times, caught all 6 of them for 62 yards. It was just underwhelming. And I know you agree with me.
Yes.
Yes.
Did he get paid? Did he get paid, or did he just hold out and show up anyway?
He held out and showed up anyway. I think this is just like a Bengals thing, though. I think they're slow starters. I'm pretty sure it's going to be the same thing next week. I'm really debating on benching Joe Burrow. I think like after week 3, maybe 4, 5, like that's when everything starts clicking. So I'm not too worried about it yet, at least. So if it's beyond week 4 stuff, maybe it's really cause for concern. But last year they started off slow. I think the year before that too, they start off slow. They just start off slow. So I think eventually it's going to click. I think eventually they do this too. It's like they do this. They're like, okay, shit, like nothing's working. Let's just force feed Ja'Marr Chase, and he'll probably have like a blow up game, and maybe get paid. Maybe after he gets paid, we'll see. I don't know.
The one thing I saw that I wanted to ask you about, I don't know if you saw it as well, and these days you can make anything from a 5-second snippet of game video or game feeds or whatever, but I saw on the sideline Joe Burrow during a timeout or, you know, after, you know, the offense was done on the field, goes to the bench and he picks up a Gatorade bottle, but he struggles to pick up the Gatorade bottle, and you can tell it almost looks like that Gatorade bottle is like 30 pounds, and he picks it up and he struggles, and then he moves his hand, adjusts it in order to drink from it. So the internet is going crazy and be like, oh my God, like did Joe Burrow's wrist not heal correctly? Is it still a problem? Is that why, you know, he didn't have the game that everyone expected him to have? And I don't know if you saw that, but that would have me concerned. It's just like, well, what the fuck is going on?
No, I don't. I saw like the whole video and the whole montage of him doing the whole like wrist, like movements and stuff like that. I won't be concerned until they say something or until it actually I don't think he played necessarily bad. I just think that the Patriots played pretty well. Like, they were able to get through, they penetrated a lot, put pressure on him. Nothing deep was open. It was all the short stuff that they let him have, but they were like just cleaning it up. Like, it felt like a very Patriots game, like a very like, oh, we're just going to give you the small stuff. We're going to ride you out with defense. We're going to have you out there for very little time. And we're going to take – and I felt like the Patriots, like, burned so much of the clock. They were super efficient, yep, running the ball, just little dump offs, like Jacoby Brissett running when he had to. I just think – I think the Bengals got slapped in the mouth. Maybe they were overconfident, but Patriots played well. And
yeah, rough for anybody that started 4 different – aspects of the Bengals on their fantasy team. The headline is Slim Shady has bitch wrist. That's all I heard. This guy.
Yeah, maybe it's the hair. I don't know. Like maybe next week he'll dye it back or go back to his natural color.
You should do it.
Just accept him, man. He has bitch wrist. It happens sometimes. It happened to your guy. Good thing you got your doppelganger, Baker, Castro 2.0, lighting it up on the bench for you.
Yeah, he might start next week. I think, yeah, I don't think the Bengals are – I don't think Joe Burrow, even Ja'Marr Chase, I mean, I expect another, like, dud game from them. So.
Yeah. Well, that was
– Who are they playing?
Chiefs.
The Chiefs.
The only thing I would like about that is, right, I think they would be forced to throw maybe to keep up, but.
Dude, you talk about getting pressure. You saw what Chris Jones did to the Ravens, yeah, just tormenting people the entire night. Yeah, it's something to consider, something on the preview show to talk about, think about maybe.
So Yeah, Cincinnati, from an outside perspective, that was the biggest surprise on your roster, but it was also the biggest disappointment for me. And that's all I'll say, Castor. I feel like we're all giving you shit, and I'll give you a break, and I'll give you a pass for the rest of the segment here. But Mario, I can't let you escape disappointment from an outsider's perspective, or maybe not so much an outsider's perspective, but just rookie quarterbacks. I know they historically don't do well in week one, and that's the reason I didn't want to throw in Keenan Allen, just because of that stat alone. But I had, like, part of me was rooting for Caleb Williams for you, and hoping that, oh yeah, Keenan Allen's just going to do great. He'll be on my bench. I'll be ready to fire him up week two. Caleb Williams fell into the history books along with that stat. He finished the day 14 for 29, 93 yards, no touchdowns. He did throw a two-point conversion, carried five carries for 15 yards, finished the day with 7.2 fantasy points. And I know that's not promising right now. I have a feeling it's got to get better. But yeah, the week one stat, that I was scared away from that.
Gotta think it goes above 100 yards in the future at some point. He, you know, to watch the celebration at the end of the game, you'd never know it. You think he threw for 500 yards because after he took that last snap,
he also doesn't care about stats. So,
you know. Yeah, he's like, we won.
Oh, shit, did he say that? Where was that in preseason? not ideal. So yeah, it's a rookie game. I picked up Geno for a reason. I know not a lot of people love, or he's not a super exciting or sexy name, but I think he had like 19 or so points on the bench, or 20, something like that. He's a solid veteran with a good supporting cast and a good offense. I think Geno's going to be a nice like QB 12 to 15 baseline, which honestly is an improvement. Anything above 10 points per game for me is an improvement over the past 3 years. So he's there. I just wanted to start Caleb after fun, like for fun. I used the number five pick on him. You're right. Rookies don't light it up immediately. I think, you know, Peyton Manning still holds the rookie record for most interceptions after going like one. Troy Aikman was like 1-15 to start his career. So it's not always ideal. I know we expect a lot, especially after years like after CJ Stroud had last year. But for every CJ Stroud, there's a Bryce Young. You know, it could go extreme one of two ways. So I had realistic expectations. I had hoped for like maybe 14, 15 out of him, under 100 yards passing, not ideal. But the team got the win, the defense stepped up, and I gotta assume it gets better. It's his first ever game. I'm glad I have a contingency plan, not only in Geno, but my boy Justin Fields looks like he might be trying to earn the starting spot and,
just give up on
in Pittsburgh pretty soon. Right. Hell no, I'm wasting three roster spots on quarterbacks right now.
Me too, they said. Start,
Yeah, leaning that way. He ain't going to let that job go. Keeps winning. I think I had hoped for, like I said, 14 to 15 points. Not something as extreme as what Jaden Daniels did, because he had probably, it wasn't pretty, but he had probably definitely the best statistical game out of the whole rookie group. He doesn't have the legs that Daniels did, but if you told me he rushed five times, I think I would have hoped for like, you know, between 30 and 40 yards there. He only gets 15. I'd expect at least one passing touchdown, certainly over 100 yards, and he obviously fell short of that. Luckily, this week it didn't matter. I think Geno has a tough matchup in week two, so right now Caleb is still in the starting spot against Houston. I think I'm just going to get enticed again to go, last year's rookie sensation against this year's rookie sensation, just – play for
Geno
fun.
Geno has the Patriots in week two.
Don't love that, because I think Burrow does start slow and they're just a little dysfunctional right now. But at the same time, the Patriots, the one thing they do well consistently is play tough, grind it out, nasty defense. And like Castro was saying, grind the clock, minimize your possession time, and just all things that are bad for fantasy. But that's my preview to the preview. Anyway, Caleb. Yeah, not ideal, but no, not scared. Not scared enough to even sit him in week two, I don't think.
And one thing I forgot to mention for you, Mario, the surprises I had made note of, one was Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry had a decent first half when they played Thursday night, 13 carries for 46 yards and a touchdown. Finished the day with 10.6 fantasy points, but the reason I listed as like a surprise or a disappointment, depending on perspective, was because of I don't think he had a ton of usage in that second half. Like most of those points happened in the first half. And then to add on to that, John Harbaugh came out and said, I think post game or at some point over the weekend, that they didn't bring Derrick Henry in to be the guy that gets the ball 30 times a game. And in my mind, I'm still like, you know, I've drafted the guy, I had him for a few years, and I'm like, well, why not? Like, why else would you bring Derrick Henry in? So hearing that, I would be like, well, what the fuck is going on there? And the second point, Mario, on your side, Mark Andrews, that was probably more of a disappointment than a surprise. Oh, well, maybe both. Only 2 targets for 14 yards. I think he was used primarily as a blocker or maybe a decoy. But those are probably 2 things that you're probably watching out for going into week 2.
A little bit. It's 1 week, and it's the Chiefs. The Chiefs are going to dictate a game script unlike any other game script for the rest of the season. I did hear some promising stats about Andrews. Let me first off say I don't think Likely is a fluke. I think Andrews is still going to be fine, and he's probably still the one I would draft today. But
look at that smirk from Will.
I don't have the stats on me, but like there was something like I think last year the Ravens ran 12 personnel, so 2 tight end sets, 11% of the time. Week 1 it was 50. So they had both guys on the field half the time, like a 40% increase in rate, and I don't think that's going to go away. The promising thing was that Mark Andrews still actually ran more routes. Then Likely, the reason for the huge discrepancy is because somebody brought up the stats that Andrews has against the Chiefs specifically, and that Steve Spagnuolo dude, and he doubled Andrews on an incredibly high rate. He just it's like the Patriots strategy where they just identify a player and they say this guy's not going to beat us, and they just do everything they can to take him out of the game. So I do think it was a combination of both Likely's improvements and increased involvement and the Chiefs saying this guy's not going to get us, and it was just the perfect storm of those. And, you know, week 1 overreact, blah, blah, blah. So I think Andrews will be fine. I think they're going to dip into each other. The best I can hope for is like a Gronk, Aaron Hernandez situation where hopefully Isaiah Likely plays an Aaron Hernandez role and we don't see him after a few years.
Just got to hang on and we'll see.
So
they're making a movie of Aaron Hernandez.
Story. Like show and movie.
Yeah, horror?
Yeah. I was like, what?
No, I think both. I think like,
but I'll keep it quick because I don't want to derail y'all for too long before I take off. But yeah, just a terrible combination of both. It pushed both to their extremes. Andrews an extreme low and Likely an extreme high, all those things. But I think they're going to normal out a little bit, and I think I'd still prefer Andrews for this year. Like definitely Dynasty, I'd take Likely for long term, but for this year, I think Andrews will still be okay. Derrick Henry, that's fine. I wasn't expecting 30 a game. I think I expected like a souped up version of like what Zeke and Gus Edwards are, which is if they get within 5 yards, you can bank on maybe 10 plus touchdowns for the entire season. Anything over 50 yards rushing, I'm happy with, but I'm really just banking on him just being a touchdown bell cow for the year, and that's all I need him to be. So I'm good with him as long as he's healthy.
Mario improves to 1-0. Castro falls to 0-1. Guys, any last words before we move on from this matchup?
I'll see you in playoffs, Mario. Castro.
It's good. Good game, Castro. Hey, what can you do? You ran into a buzzsaw this week.
No,
brought that pain. I certainly laid it on hard. I was like hungover talking shit the next day. And I would say you didn't hide from it, but I think you did. I didn't see you for most of the day.
I just was trying not to make a bad situation worse. I was like, all right, this is not my weekend. If I talk shit, I'm running the risk. Like, my players are not all set. Ja'Marr Chase isn't happy. Let's just roll with good karma for week 1.
Okay. I played the opposite game, which is not a game I am good at. If I was of sound mind, I wouldn't have said anything because it's very lucky I didn't have a season-ending injury somewhere on Sunday after talking shit. But no, good game, good sport. I'll see you in week 5. We're in the same tier now.
Good revenge.
We'll see if Joe Burrow is turned back into Burrow at that point.
If not, it's going to be Baker.
Probably.
Burrow on the bench.
A little Burrow and Baker.
Well, yeah. That's crazy that he's younger than you. Sorry for intruding, jumping in. It was just kind of the perfect window. This is my only place I have good internet is in the room. And I had maybe 30 minutes before I had to start the day. Hopefully I'll have some stories after the next couple of days for you guys.
Yeah, and, I can't wait to hear them.
Thanks for indulging. I've taken a bunch of pictures, but I'll see you about posting and sharing. But I'll see you guys in I'm out next week too. Well, I'll see you guys.
See you soon. Have fun. Have a blast. Thanks for joining.
Later. Take care.
See ya.
You got to give the peace sign, D's. That's what they do.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Two of them. Japan, Japan.
Is that what's necessary? Japan, Japan?
Yes. Have you never been?
No.
I know that. It was a rhetorical question.
All right.
Mara's just frozen now.
Yeah, I don't know. If that stays the remainder of the session, it's going to throw me off so much.
Can you get rid of it?
Let's see. Squad remove from session. There it is.
You should have left it there.
No way.
All right.
Distraction.
Fell a little bit behind there, but yeah, the surprise was nice. We were able to talk through that matchup, and it was actually timed perfectly well. So, but with that, I think we're moving on. Fonz, you have the next one?
No, my brother does, but he fucking left.
No, he doesn't. It's you, Fonz.
No, it's you, Fonz.
It's you, Deez. It's Deez and William. That's your matchup.
Oh, yeah, skip me. That's right. Okay.
God damn it.
Yeah, I'm trying to get back on track here. Deez versus my brother. Let me pull it up here. Sorry about that.
You're good. I probably threw us off because I have two separate lists and they're not one to one. And that's my fault.
No, but especially him, Mario jumping in. I just lost where we're at. Okay.
No worries.
Yeah. I'm going to try to get us back on track here. We got Deez versus my brother. Deez scored 157.58 points to my brother's 115.82 points. It was a pretty big beatdown, but I mean, still, my brother scored 100.
Brother, help me!
But
don't take Deez's credit away like that. You fucking tell it how it is.
For a person who was ranked to be at the bottom, he belongs in tier one with those points he put up. So
how many points did you score, Castro?
It's only 1 week, William. It's only one week.
Okay, so you're not gonna, just like you're not gonna acknowledge the bad, you're not gonna acknowledge the good either. Cool.
Whoa, I didn't put up points.
What I'm trying to say is 115 points is a lot. So it's unfortunate he went up against Deez in week one.
That's a lot.
Big shine on Josh Allen. I think he's the biggest top player that did well for him. It did not look good. Like you said earlier, Deez, in the beginning with Buffalo, it's just like they were not getting any offense going. But then Josh Allen doing what he does, just never giving up and just keeps on pounding it in there. He put up 31.18. Saquon Barkley, the second one. I mean, it's hard to determine if it was Josh Allen or Saquon Barkley was your most favorite star on this one this week. But Saquon Barkley with 24 carries, 109 yards, two touchdowns, two receptions for 23 yards, and one touchdown, leaving him with the trifecta on that game against Green Bay Friday in Brazil. Which, by the way, I just based off of that Brazil game, I feel like nobody's gonna want to play in Brazil.
Dude, yeah, they're gonna.
That was scary. Yeah. I'm surprised that only Jordan Love got hurt during that game because they were just slipping all over that field, man.
I was confident Saquon was gonna get injured. I was like, if it's anyone, it's gonna be Saquon. Like, it just doesn't have the greatest history. Right. It's gonna happen.
No, but he was one of the very first players to figure out his footing on the field, and when he did. He took off.
His first two plays, he had the first carry and then he slipped. He fell. He just fell. And then the second, I think it was like a fake handoff. And then he was running, I guess, to like block and then get open. But he slipped when he got to the line of scrimmage. And I was like, oh no. But yeah, he turned it around.
I still think he's going to break his knee.
Oh my God.
You know what? Stop. Watch your mouth. Watch your mouth. Because listen, all those injuries. The entire week, the entire week, Will was like, oh, bust his kneecaps, break his kneecaps, break his knee. Saquon for Josh Allen, break his kneecaps. Oh, someone land on his knee. Knee, 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 knee this, knee that.
Josh Allen, break his neck.
Whatever. I don't know how many times I heard break your knee or like trying to hint at, you know, please someone knee injury. But all those injuries I listed at the beginning of the show, I think over half of them are knee injuries. So the league injury right now is on you. All the league injuries is on you.
Nice one, William.
I put it out there. But it didn't go to the right person.
It went to multiple persons.
It didn't go to the right person. And I still stand by what I said. Under 9 touchdowns for the year. That is crazy.
Third of the way there. You are
under
so
9 for Saquon.
Yeah,
because
remember the bet? You remember that?
No, he put a bet on that.
Yeah, with Mario, and it had there was a podcast where we.
Oh, we listened to actually, yeah, I think yeah, dude.
Over
yeah.
So
I bet the other, and y'all are yeah. They were like, you're crazy.
Yeah, I remember that.
Crazy now.
You're so God damn it, really.
Sorry, Fonz. Go ahead.
No worries. Back on track here. Those are your, I think, your top performers right there. Davon and A-Chain, great start, but just can't stay healthy. Just the same thing as last season. And him being questionable next week just kind of brings that story back up again. And then Deebo Samuel. I think I called it. We were all talking about it the last podcast that the 49ers offense just wasn't going to pass it that much, but if they did get any points, it was definitely going to be Deebo Samuel, who's going to be getting a lot of the looks just because he's so versatile. They use him in so many different ways. They used him as running back during this game, you know. But and then Jake Moody, God, dude, 27.3 fantasy points. I think that was very overkill. He didn't need it.
I think Moody was on Williams' team last year, and it made me so happy that I picked him up this year, and he did that week one against William. Like, just go
ahead. Zach William. Like,
yeah, this is wild. Yeah, nice one, maybe that's the punishment he gets for the knee-breaking comments.
Also, Fonz, you told me to start Darnold over Josh Allen.
but Darnold did good. I had a feeling that because I was just worried about how the Bills were going to come out with no receivers, you know.
Yeah,
just,
I mean, the way it looked, the way it started, you're right.
I just didn't know. Yeah, and honestly, like, if Josh Allen didn't do what he did, taking the just him running it in and doing what he does, yeah, I don't think
they sure, Fonz. Sure, you just didn't want to protect your brother.
Had a great game. Sam Darnold had a great game, so it was just like, I don't think I was completely wrong, but
he did have a good game. I don't know if he had a great game for fantasy, but like for the Vikings, I think he did well. He did very well.
Yeah, I mean, I just again, I did say it was crazy. All right, that was the very first comment I made.
Yeah, you did.
But I don't think I was too wrong on that.
Vikings defense.
I guess some notable disappointment was probably maybe Christian Watson, just because he only got targeted 5 times and only pulled in 3 of those. For 13 yards and 1 touchdown, basically saved his fantasy day with that touchdown that he had. Really, honestly, I don't know. I guess the surprise was probably Jake Moody for me on your team. But, yeah, that is your side. You had a great week one. Nothing to really be too concerned about. I think A-Chain, I don't know if you have a backup for what you would do with him.
He has Ramondre.
You got Stevenson. Yeah, you got Ramondre Stevenson. So, yeah, you're good.
Yeah, even if A-Chain gets cleared to play, I'm hesitant to start him. I think this happened last year, too. He got injured and then the game time decision. I think he did get cleared to play, but he had limited involvement. So that's always a concern when you have a player going into on a short week and then doesn't get the clear to play or it's questionable. It's a game time decision. So things to think about. But on the flip side of the coin, that coin is like it's A-Chain, right? Like he could also go off. So I don't know if I actually have the, you know, stones to sit him. So we'll see where that goes.
Probably just look a little bit more closer to it tomorrow as the game comes closer to kickoff.
For sure.
And then my brother's side, probably no one really stood out.
Same.
Kenneth Walker, great that he did what he did. Unfortunately, he got injured from that week, from that game against Denver. So now he's questionable for next week. Luckily, my brother has the handcuff to that, on this team, so he doesn't have to worry too much about that. Probably the biggest disappointment was Hunter Henry for him, just because you would think with the offense trying to get it together, you would have Hunter Henry who would be a nice a safe dump off to, you know, whenever you're stuck in a sticky situation. But let me see. 3 targets, 2 receptions, and he only pulled in 2 of those. So, yeah.
I think the one that he didn't pull in was that almost touchdown. I think that's where that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, last, that's right.
That other target that's came right. from. So almost. Yeah.
And then I wouldn't say it's too much of a surprise, but it was just because of how bad they were losing Jerome Ford with against the Cowboys. I think that was a surprise that he still was able to pull out a touchdown in that game. 12 carries, 44 yards, and a touchdown. 6 or 7 targets, 6 receptions, 25 yards. He's getting the looks, and I think he continues to as the year goes on until Chubb comes back. And really, that is really all I have to say. Raheem Shaheed, he's probably regret not starting him, but I think he only got 5 targets, 3 receptions for 73 yards and a touchdown. I think one of those being a long pass touchdown. And then likely, of course, he's been talking about all week since that game. Likely, I think it is going to be a must start from now on.
By the way, Mario almost gave me Mark Andrews for free if Likely scored another touchdown, and he almost did. Mario felt bad for telling me to bench Likely.
He did.
I listened.
Nice one, William.
Cassie, you should have been in those parties we had last, you know, Thursday and Friday, watching the games in the background, or watching the games over chat. That was a fun time.
Yeah, I think we had the party chat going for 11 hours that day.
On Sunday.
Yeah, people that were jumping in just like, Jesus, how long has it been in here? It's like, not the whole time. We've been in and out.
We're not proud of it.
Commercial-free football.
We've been in and out doing other things, but coming back to each other during the games. So, that's it. Again, my congratulations, Dees, on that win. Congratulations to my brother, too, still.
No, still for what? A lot of
points. He still put up a lot of points.
Congratulations for what? What Fabian Bond? Tell him he lost and did better.
No, for what? Yeah, everybody knows he lost, right? He didn't get beat down. The bad.
He did get what the?
That's debatable.
Debatable. All right.
Big brother, help me.
If it would be your ass. Next time, D's, I'm whooping that ass, bro.
Well, a couple weeks. You have 4 weeks to prepare. Right. Prepare. 4 weeks.
Yeah. 4 weeks.
I like Rusty from Rasheed Rice and Nico, so be ready.
Start.
All right. And then I guess you, Castro, bring us home.
Finishing it off. I got the last matchup. It's Joe versus Justin, the championship rematch. And Justin does end up getting his revenge with winning 125.62 to 100.18. The first thing, like I know we talked about it on the preview, was the QB for Joe, and he did give up Jalen Hurts, and like he does have Purdy still, but even Purdy put up 10. It could be just a bad week for both of them, but yeah, Jared Goff putting up 11, and even if he put Purdy in, which I would have probably done that too, maybe, it wasn't not good either way. Curious to know if he's kind of like reconsidering. Because, like, the rest of his team's actually not that bad. James Conner still won't die, still producing out there. Mike Evans looks good. Like, Tampa Bay, all that looks good. Aaron Jones still looks good. Like, still solid lineup. Still putting up points with most of his players. So, Jalen Hurts, you have to imagine. I don't know what he put up this week, but you have to imagine that was – let me check what he put up, actually, before I say something.
Who's this Hurts? He had
16. Too bad. But still, you have to imagine Joe may still have been a really top contender with Jalen Hurts in his lineup. So could be, but we'll see.
On the possibly losing McCaffrey for whatever.
Oh yeah, that's true.
I'm sure they get that figured out. So
actually, that was the other thing I was going to say. I actually had the stones to start Kyle. What's his name?
Had no choice.
Yeah, Jason. The Jew, that guy they always do that to. Still ended up doing pretty well. Put 4 points. Like that.
He almost had a touchdown.
Yeah, almost had a touchdown too. So, like, you got to love that. On the other side, though, Justin just still solid all around from top to bottom. QB, wide receiver, Stephon Diggs, new place and doing well. Ended up with 15 points. Joe Mixon as well, same spot, ends up with 30 carries.
That's freaking wild, yep. Man.
Yeah, that's I don't know what to say about it. I'm a former Joe Mixon owner, and I always wanted that. So, like, and I never really got it because he was always either injured or not playing well or on a bad team. So it's good to see him do well on someone else's team, I guess. Also, too, he drafted the Cowboys defense again. I feel like he always gets the Cowboys defense, and 17 points. You got to love that. The only thing like I that like kind of piques my interest for him is on his bench he has Tony Pollard, which actually did pretty well, and I feel like he is going to be the guy for the Titans. By the way, did y'all see the Titans like the last play where Will Levis stirs the pick, and it's just the shot of him on his knees and hands on his helmet, like yeah, it looks hilarious. It's like, what have I done? Instant regret to what he did. But yeah, I tell Tony Pollard, he got 16 carries, 62 yards, a touchdown, and he also got 3 catches for 12 yards. So a lot of production there, more than I thought he would get. So that seems to be a pleasant surprise.
That makes me mad because it was supposed to be a 50-50 split between him and Spears, and it was not that.
I honestly thought that Spears was going to take the backfield. Like, I thought Spears looked really well when Derrick Henry wasn't, like, around. Even when Derrick Henry was playing, he would go in, and he looked like he would get just chunks of yards.
Yep.
But, yeah, I guess Tony Pollard's the guy there, apparently.
For now.
Yeah. Also, too, he also has a conundrum now because Jameson Williams on the bench is putting up points and Amon-Ra St. Brown didn't show up. And this is like a horrible spot to be in because what do? You don't want to start both of them. Maybe it's a fluke. I don't know. I personally think Jameson Williams was really highly touted in college and like was supposed to be a top receiver. He has elite speed, so maybe this is a year he finally puts it together. I think this is the healthiest he's been, and he actually got to do the whole off-season stuff. So it's interesting. And the Lions seem like they spread it around a lot too. Like I feel like Jameson might be kind of like that one guy who's just like he might be that guy like a Xavier Worthy type where it's like you have to fear the speed where it's like he could just get one like a 50-yard bomb and just take it to the house. And Amon-Ra St. Brown is, I guess, the safer floor, but I feel like the bigger games are going to come from Jameson Williams a bit sometimes.
Could be, yeah.
Amon-Ra didn't do anything this week or last week.
Who?
Amon-Ra.
No, he didn't. He was – that's why – oh, snap. What the heck? Sorry, my computer. Oh, Isaac was calling me. That decline. How dare he enter?
We're live here.
We're recording a podcast. What do you want from me, William?
Oh, that's your excuse every time you don't answer? Yes, you cut the call, dude.
Anything else anyone wants to talk about?
I still can't get over Jameson Williams and how thin his legs are. Yeah, like chicken legs, dude.
Dude, he's like a speedster. Like, he's pretty fast.
Yeah, he's got no muscles.
This is all speed.
Yeah. I'd be worried about him getting just knocked out. Just one hard hit.
Yeah, nothing else from me on this matchup. It seems Justin has all the right tools. He just has to figure out which ones to use to make the most out of, you know, his matchup week in and week out. And I do feel for Joe that Christian McCaffrey, you know, last minute, nope, he's not playing. That sucked. And I'm sure he was pissed about that and probably still is. So I feel for him and all the CMC owners and in the other leagues as well. So just not what you want to go through.
Yeah. Word. Well, I think that's it. Tease.
That's it. That does us. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll be back next time going over the week 2 preview as week 1 is in the books. Until next time, gentlemen.
Peace out, everyone.
Big Willie signing out.